We're coming up to Zombie Takeout. Do you feel up to it, Scott?
Hmm.
Look, we can let John do the intro. They're doing all right so far.
No. No, goddammit. It's my show. I'm not going to let this cutthroat ruin it for me. That's exactly what they want.
Welcome to episode 499 of Zombie Takeout. The B-Movie and Cult Movie Show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto. This is a 499 Lost Balloons.
What was that? I'm sorry. 99. It's been so long since I've heard that song. You'd think it was like, you know, burned into my brain at this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are stumbling to the finish line. Yeah. That is the year 2022.
And before we get to this week's movie, we have our lists, our best and worst lists for this year. Starting with the worst, of course, in ascending order. We normally do 10 of each this year. We could only really come up with 5 bad ones, which is surprising, because we thought this was a much worse year for Zombie Takeout.
Yeah, one of my bottom fives is a 2, believe it or not. And it's really a tie for that 5th place spot.
I had a good
2.5. That is really you were really good on them this year.
And I had 11 to fives. Like, I left off a 5 for my top 10.
You know, I look back and realize I should have had a couple more 5s on here. Mm-hmm. That I was just, I don't know why I was the Simon Cowell, but I was tough.
Anyway, and I'm always, as you put it, the easier grader. Anyway, number 5 worst movie. Repo, the Genetic Opera. It was just a lot.
Oh, my number 5 is Xanadu. More like Xanadote, am I right?
Number 4, Avalanche Sharks.
Same here.
The last Siffy shark. Certainly the last Siffy shark movie, probably the last Siffy movie we'll do. I think we'll pretty much agree on the rest of these. Number 3, Voyage to the Planet of Prehistoric Women.
No, I don't think so. Because, well, I have edging out Avalanche Sharks for the number 3 spot. This one that we're going to do tonight. New Year's Evil.
All right. Interesting. Number 2, Farce of the Penguins.
I have Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
Okay, yeah. A lot of those are kind of eh for me, but they weren't quite the bottom. And this we might agree on this one. I don't know. Number 1, the worst movie. The one we shouldn't have bothered coming back to for Cheerleader Ninjas.
that was one of those tied for 5th. Other two tied for 5th was a Scanner Darkly and Die by the Sword. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and Lake Placid. But my absolute worst, and it's probably on one of your best lists, and it is just a movie that I absolutely loathed, The Man Who Killed Hitler, and then The Bigfoot.
That was the 5 I decided to leave off.
Oh, yeah?
And you mentioned one of my 10th best movie as one of your 5s, as one of your potential 5th worst, Scanner Darkly.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just missed the bottom 5. I mean, obviously, if I had gun to my head, Cheerleader Ninjas would have made, would have been, you know, the number 6. I don't know, the other 3.
So there were 2s. What's your number 10 for best?
Number 10 for best, and man, this was really hard to rank, but I went with Lucky.
Okay. Oh, that was another, was that? Oh, no, I think I gave that a 4.5. I think it wasn't quite a 5 for me.
Yeah, I've got a couple of 4s. And then there were, of course, I've got like 4 other 4s that didn't quite make the list. Altered States, Shang-Chi, Alien Nation, and The Keep.
2 of those are on my list. At number 9, I have a movie you introduced me to, Bottle Rocket.
Yeah, that's one of those I realized I probably should have given a 5 to. I don't know why I was such a hard ass that week. I have that ranked at number 5.
Huh. What's your number 9?
Number 9 is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Number 8, The Keep.
My number 8's Gilbert.
I'm surprised that wasn't higher for you.
It is among the 4.5s, and I have some strong-ass 4.5s.
Number 7, Sharkula.
My number 7 is Cockneys versus Zombies.
That was another one that I felt like maybe should have eked onto the list. If I went into the 4.5s, it would have.
Yeah, I think that was one. I'm happy with giving that one 4.5. The same with Gilbert.
Mm-hmm. Number 6, Super Cop.
My number 6 is Star Trek First Contact. I probably should have given that a 5 as well. It's one of those, maybe I should go back and listen to the episode, like, explain to older Scott, why did you give this a 4.5 and not a 5? I'm sure I had a really good reason.
My number 5 is First Contact.
Yeah, I already gave my 5 as Bottle Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been a 5.
Number 4, Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad.
My 4 is Soylent Green.
Hmm.
Let me change that on the fly here. My 4 is Repo the Genetic Opera.
Okay. Number 3, Shang-Chi.
And 3 would be Soylent Green. Hmm. The reason why for the last minute change, I was thinking about it earlier, Soylent Green had a lot of subtlety to it. You know, there's a lot of things that they didn't come out and say. You had to, like, fill in the blanks as to why things were going on. Of course, the Genetic Opera had a lot of things, you know, but subtlety was not one of them.
I think
it's over the top. It's an opera, of course. Soylent,
I think largely my problem was Heston. He's just a lot.
And I understand why he'd be a problem, but the rest of the cast, the rest of the acting is just wonderful.
Especially Robinson.
They nailed so much.
Mm-hmm. And then these next two, I think we're going to agree on at least one of them, possibly both.
I think we got the same actor in both of them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we do. Okay. Be interesting if we went in the same order. 2, I'm going Wally's Wonderland.
Same here.
And
of course.
Adaptation.
This is kind of like anticlimactic. We did adaptation
like
this year, so of course that's going to be number 1.
Yeah, like Network, you know, there was no question there.
Right. That was one of the easiest decisions.
Right.
I have some stats. A little bit. Let's see, we did 36 movies in total. We had 11 recommendations. Only one made the avoid list. Your average rating for this year and all time is 3.63, where my all time average is 3.4, but for this year it was 3.27.
Oh wow! You
which made me realize, wow, you know, if I made a couple fives and a couple 4.5s, maybe my average would be around the same.
Which one made the avoid list?
What's that?
What made the avoid list?
Ooh, I forget. I should have looked that up.
And finally, on to this week's movie from 1980, New Year's Evil. Our holiday film, of course.
Since this didn't make your bottom list, it won't be this one.
No. And of course, that brings you to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Punk Rock. It's not metal, or blues, or rockabilly, or psychedelia, or whatever the hell else was being played at that club.
And also brought to you by Metal Punk New Wave Hard Rock. Just put on the pink zebra pattern, it's all the same.
And I just realized my mic was on the other side of the desk, so apologies if I was quiet for the beginning of the show.
You know, I just thought you were low in my ears.
I'll adjust that in post if possible. Apologies if I can't.
Oh, no.
Well, we're not going through all that again.
Yeah, that was an awful lot. And we can't do that again. All right. Mm-hmm. So for this movie, we had she's not Dick Clark. She's, I guess, some new wave punk woman from the LA scene. I don't think she's in a band, but I think she's kind of a, you know, television personality.
Yeah.
They really didn't establish what the hell it was, because you know what? I don't think they understood what the hell any of this is.
I was kind of surprised, because it was very MTV before MTV.
That is true.
She was kind of a VJ.
she was kind of a VJ, and it didn't really make any sense because that wasn't a thing back then. So was she a radio
I
person?
think she
Was
was a
she?
radio person.
They honestly, they didn't give a fuck about how any of it
No,
worked
no.
or what she was doing. She's just vaguely connected to the music industry, and she hosted a New Year's Eve show.
Mazes and monsters cared more about accuracy.
Maybe. Yeah, you're right. So she's hosting her New Year's Eve show. Her son comes in right before she's about to. It's like a big, it feels like it's a big make or break moment for her career, how this thing goes for some reason, which is hilarious because no one really gives a fuck about New Year's Eve television programming. If you ever watched like some of the local stuff, you guys probably don't because you have all the New York stations over by you. But out here in Chicago, we just had for years, it was just two news people pretty much getting tanked while just talking and with some bands in between and whatnot.
And honestly, even the stuff out in New York, it's just to have on the back on in the background at a house party.
Exactly. Nobody is actually watching this, but in this world, they are. And it's a big deal, and they take phone calls during it. Nothing's pre-recorded. You would think somebody, you know, close to the entertainment industry would understand some of that. But no, everything is live. All the bands are performing live. The mosh pits are all live and everything. As live as they could be for this movie.
Wouldn't
But
quite call them
here's,
mosh pits. It was barely slam dancing.
it seems like people were wandering into a pit lost, not understanding that they were in a pit. And I guess the implication is, of course, they were high on something. So here's the fly in the ointment. Her son comes with her to her with all of this stuff that's going on in his life right before her big make or break moment.
Were you
And of
spending the
course,
entire movie waiting for him to come out? Because I was.
they kind of suspected that he had a thing for his mom.
Oh,
I mean, they were definitely implying that in a couple of those scenes where she
wow.
was like getting changed and he was just like, oh, you know, it was
Well,
kind
if
of like
it's
a
the ending,
what?
given, you know, the stereotypes and all.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so of course she's a bad mom, she's a career woman, and her marriage is in trouble. And in the middle of this, so she must be punished, of course. In the middle of all this, some crazed killer calls in to her show, and you know, the FCC rules and everything. You've totally put phone calls on the air live, no delay whatsoever. It was just kind of jaw-dropping, like, wait, that's supposed to be live? Because you think, you know, she's just talking to him and they're like pre-recording a bit or whatever, and then you realize, no, they're putting that out live. Because whoever did this knows zero about TV or radio, apparently.
Or popular music.
Or popular music. Oh, well, they do know a little bit about it.
Well, they have a very scattershot knowledge of popular music, I'll put it that way. A band goes from playing like hair metal in a punk club to playing like straight up blues.
They were different bands there because one guy had like the pink zebra pattern, and then there was another band with, you know, that was more of like the slicked back hair guy and like there was Made in Japan and there was somebody else, you know,
Right, there were
performing
two
in
bands.
this.
Shadows was the other one.
Yeah. So this crazed killer calls in and tells her that he's going to kill. He's using, of course, the Peter Frampton voice box.
Not exactly. Well, I guess
Despite
kind
the
of.
title, Frampton Kills Them All.
I guess that's maybe what it was supposed to be. I'm not really sure how it worked.
I don't know either. It was either that or he had like the tracheotomy, you know,
Well, it sounded
during
like that, but he had a
they're
thing in his
coming right
mouth.
for us.
And the talk box, the Heil talk box, which is what Frampton used, and living on a prayer and all that, it pumps the sound of the guitar into your mouth and you form the sound. That sound, that's how you get it to talk.
Yeah.
And maybe that was like channeling an electronic sound into his mouth to cover. I don't know.
So he's
really
he's
shouldn't
promising.
Be trying to analyze this movie.
No. No, because they put we're putting more thought into this movie than they
the
did.
Producers did, yeah.
Yes. And so he promises to kill someone at each time zone, which when I saw the description of the movie, it made it sound like he traveled from time zone to time zone, yeah, killing somebody.
Which
and
would
I
have
was
been
like,
a very
well,
cool
that's
plot.
The dumbest thing I ever heard, because how would he travel an hour? No, he just does one for each time zone, yeah, in the LA area. So it's like, oh, well, okay, I guess it's not as stupid as I thought it was going to be. But then, oh, here we are. He almost gets his thing done that he wants to get done. And I'm going to give the big spoiler, the big shocking reveal.
Because even though I like this movie probably quite a bit more than you do, neither of us are going anywhere near recommending it.
Well, you know, and you guys may have not be aware of this, but most victims of violence know the perpetrator.
Yeah.
So the big shocking reveal, it's her estranged husband. No way!
Now, we didn't know him as her husband before then, right?
No.
Okay. So I didn't, like, miss something obvious for the entire movie. That's good.
That was supposed to be a big shocking reveal. And that was the other thing, too. They should have... The first rule of this is you don't reveal the guy's face, you know, when he's making the phone call and stuff. You keep that a secret, you know?
Mm.
And maybe had it that we saw the two of them together at some point in some way before this.
Right.
Maybe the phone call that she makes to him earlier that night. I don't know. Actually, no, she didn't talk to him. The assistant did for some reason. And she says that he's like, sounds like he's drunk or something. But yeah, there's zero connection between the two of them until they finally meet. And then you're like, oh, it's her husband. Ha ha ha. The killer's her husband. Oh my God. What are we supposed to do with this? Whew. Of course the killer husband tries to kill her, cause that's the plan. And, he hot wires an elevator and hilarity ensues.
Yeah. And completely breaks his pattern in the process of doing that.
Oh yeah. There's none of, yeah.
And you left off the other twist, which I feel like was the one we more need to talk about.
Oh, the other one was pretty obvious.
End.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of like an, oh good, they do an I Smell sequel. Because
exactly.
That's what this needed.
It was a nice dramatic opening, though. I liked all the cheesy New York accents. I appreciate...
What, the driving... Oh! Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. No, like when they're talking like the 1940s or something,
yeah,
I'm like, what year is this again?
I mean, I came into this expecting bad. And
I did too. Yeah.
I got what I wanted. I appreciate that they skipped over the opening credits at first. They got right into the movie. It's endearingly of its time, I said.
The people talking like it's the cat's pajamas or something.
But
what,
then
what
they get
this?
To the first kill. And there's no gore.
Yeah. And then they did the Friday the 13th audio cue. I was like, oh, you really, come on, man. Hmm. You can't do that.
And the whole thing is centered around punk, sort of, in the punk scene, supposedly. Even though if the producers of this movie ever, or creators of the film ever walked into CBGBs, they'd probably like end up shuddering on the spot and backing out as quickly as possible.
It does get half a brain for someone voting for We Don't Need No Education in the poll.
Yeah.
Because this was 1980, and that was pretty much the song of the year.
And, I mean, I do like the opening song. It's got kind of a cult following, the title song. But it's basically hair metal.
Yes. Which, I mean, it's quite early for hair metal. So it was kind of weird that there was so much hair metal in this.
Mm. And then there's this one like ambiguously gay violent punk, which I kind of love that stereotype, as problematic and dated as it is. And then they introduce Eric, the son, who is also ambiguously gay.
Right, or just troubled, or I don't know.
All of
It's
the
just,
above.
yeah, just what an asshole, you know?
But it feels weirdly like a TV movie.
Oh yes, definitely. This was a TV movie with some TNA and some violence.
With this off-brand Phantom of the Paradise vibe.
They even reference that. Should I call you the Phantom? It's like, ugh.
And you called it, wandering into a mosh pit. I called it Hollywood slam dancing. They
Someone
clearly
just
had
kind
no
of like,
idea.
I'm visiting this club. Let me take a wander around, and oh, look, there's people slamming around me. What's going on?
And then they show the pit, quote unquote pit, and then immediately cut to a mental institution.
Yeah, comparing the two. I compare it to like the episode of Quincy, which I think came after this. Maybe it was by the same people, where he says, why do they listen to music that makes them want to hate?
I feel like the people who don't get that vibe in punk and metal have never heard of catharsis.
Right. Why did these Greeks watch these terrible plays where everybody dies in the end?
Exactly. Why did Shakespeare kill every character in his best works?
Kill every last motherfucker in the room. Oh.
And then we see this, guy. Well, we see the killer, which is weird.
Yes.
I thought it
Incredibly
was
weird.
a brave choice, but kind of weird. I didn't get where they were going. And then we see the same guy walking into this mental hospital as like the new nurse.
Yeah, he's this James Bond kind of thing where he just puts on terrible disguises at times and
And
just blends in
they
somehow.
reveal that this guy is the killer right away, which I didn't get.
Right, the problem is there's no more tension in this, you know? It's just, is he going to be able to kill who he wants to kill? And that's the only real dramatic question that's there, you know?
Then
No
there's
one
this.
cares why or anything, because, well, he's crazy. That's all
Right.
you need to know.
Exactly. And then there's this scene with the son where he's cutting up his mother's stockings and putting them on his head, and I think there's a safety pin, and I thought maybe he was a closet punk.
Oh, which, I mean, I don't know. I thought he'd been caught stealing once when he was five.
Side note, because I've been thinking about this lately, it's surprising you brought that up. I have a Mondo Green with that song. A Mondo Green is a misheard line that I've
Oh,
never heard before.
what?
If I get by is the actual line. For years, I heard it as "Fuck it, Bob."
Might be a better line, actually. I mean, I like what they did with it, but that might be a
But
better
I've
line.
never heard anybody say that they've heard that line as "Fuck it, Bob." Fuck it, Bob. Like,
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because who's Bob? And
lyrically, it doesn't,
oh.
but that's just what it sounded like.
I mean, excuse me while I kiss this guy, makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, fair. Big old Jed had a light on, though.
What's
Big old Jed had a light on. That didn't make it. Doesn't make. That makes about as much sense
that?
as "Fuck it, Bob."
Okay. We have to finish this
We gotta get
review of
back to the
this
movie.
masterpiece.
The Eric Estrada name drop was hilariously dated.
Yeah. And how much pull did Eric Estrada really even have in 1980?
Well, that was like peak Chips, wasn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I would think Chips was about to go off the air even
Okay,
probably by
maybe.
then. I always thought of Chips
Incidentally,
as more of a 70s show, but maybe it was still on then.
I recently found out that the guy who played the sergeant on Chips was
Is
Chris Pine's
Pine's
father.
father. Yeah.
I did not know that until very recently.
Yeah.
But probably my favorite part of the movie was the liquor store clerk. He was just so like empathetic as he's giving this woman her change. He was giving this woman her change, like he was, you know, listening to her tell like this horrible story.
I swear he was the best actor in this movie, actually.
Probably. This really should be a midnight movie, though.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the killer picks up these two women and ends up killing both of them. And there's a claim that they were both slashed like the nurse, his first victim. Yet one of them was suffocated with a bag.
And how did they manage to pull off the timing of the slide with the cops inspecting the scene?
Yeah, that was impressive.
Like, wow, he's really good.
I gotta say, a biker gang chasing a serial killer is new.
I would have loved to have seen that angle go, or I would have loved to have seen this whole thing go off the rails where he never even makes it back to the theater, where he's fighting off the biker gang.
If they had thrown in Yakety Sax while the bikers were chasing him.
Yeah.
Five. Easy.
I mean, just the whole stupidity of him getting back into the, getting into the theater dressed as the cop and all that. Just, I mean, it was just, oh my God.
And then
it got even worse after he got to the theater, I think.
And then we find out his actual motivation. It's not just he's crazy. He hates women.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
How boring.
Right, that's...
And he hates women, so he is apparently only kills women, except for this one random black guy in the elevator when he's trying to kill his ex-wife.
Did he kill the cop? I forget. Or did he just knock him out?
Well, and that might have been, like, you know, in heat of the moment. That's different. But it looked like he staged the elevator thing with this random black guy.
Yeah, the whole elevator thing was just so weird.
Now, I do have to give it half a brain for properly using the to be or not to be speech.
I had a chuckle at that.
They corner him on a roof. He quotes a little bit of to be or not to be, jumps off the roof. You'd be surprised how many people do not understand that Hamlet is contemplating suicide in that monologue.
Really? Because,
I mean, it's obvious, yeah.
It's all of Hamlet.
True.
Now, I think the biggest question this movie has produced in my mind that I have to really do some soul searching on. Do you think George Lucas took the shot of Boba Fett looking at Jango's mask when Derek takes the mask of his father?
Yeah. It was, wow.
Because it is almost the same framing and everything.
So the son, who was ambiguously gay, possibly trans, possibly a closet punk at this point.
He's crazy. Generic crazy. Off-brand crazy.
He just takes his father's mask. And next time we see him, he's sitting in the driver's seat of the ambulance.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I smell a sequel.
Wow.
And skipping over sequels and remakes, because no, please no.
This needs a musical.
Okay, that I'd do. That I would go for.
The guys that did the Repo should have gone for a musical.
Yeah, actually, all right.
No, with none of the punk songs in it, of course. Just the dialogue being sung.
Is Paul Williams still around? Because, I mean, a Phantom of the Paradise take on it could be fun, too.
He should have sued. Not that he would have gotten any of this.
On to brains. Like I said, that to be or not to be thing got it a half a brain. Beyond that, it's just... I mean, I was entertaining at points, but I'm going three.
I'm giving it a brain and a half. I was pretty bored throughout most of it. I gave it half a brain for the Pink Floyd joke.
And what have we learned?
Not every holiday needs a movie, although this isn't our first New Year's movie.
Not only the fake blood is expensive.
I guess so. Maybe there was a shortage of it back then.
And just a side note, when I wrote fake blood is expensive in my notes, I capitalized it like it's a title. Sorry, I tapped my mic.
Oh, the one avoid list movie was Cheerleader Ninjas
Oh, my
because
worst of the year. Okay.
I gave it two brains and you gave it zero, giving it an average of one.
Right. And that's it for New Year's Evil and 2022. Until next year, when we'll be celebrating our 500th episode by reviewing The Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
It's gonna be interesting. I don't think I've seen it since I was a kid.
Ah, I've never been a fan of the movie, but I mean,
I mean, I
it
liked
is
it
a
when I was a kid,
landmark.
but I was a kid.
Right. I even as a kid, it kind of bored me, so it's going to be interesting to look at this as an adult and see what the monetary, gold standard policy of the 19th, actually not even the 30s, it was before that,
39,
the
I think.
book. The
Oh, the
book was
book, yeah.
even like way before
Right.
that.
Oh, we got a few weeks. Maybe I'll listen to it. I actually do have the book.
Yeah.
And just as a as an aside, well, kind of, the supposed hanging Munchkin completely debunked.
All right.
So that wasn't a thing before anybody claims that. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.